Shalom, shalom, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my lovely wife, Reverend Sheila Crawford. We want to remind our listeners that all our radio programs and newsletters are archived on shofarministries.net, a boatload of knowledge that we hope you will share with others.
Ta-da, my love. We are continuing in Matthew 24, but first and foremost, let us petition God for his blessing.
Okay. Most generous Abba Father, as you have saved this particular generation for such a time as this, we pray we will not let you down in fulfilling our individual God-given destiny and to always be ready to give the gospel. We pray for tonight's listeners, for their miraculous healing of any infirmities, and the salvation of all our loved ones. May they be set apart for your soon coming kingdom. We sincerely thank you for your many provisions, and may you alone be glorified. And we pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, before we delve into part 3 of Matthew 24, as we often do, let us discuss some areas of importance.
Yeah, I feel like we're in a civil war between the left and the right anymore, you know?
No, that's because we are. As we often say, the globalists want chaos and division. And we also know it has to be this way for the New World Order to be implemented. You know, but it still grieves our souls that so much hatred is being openly manifested. The memo that the Republicans unveiled on Friday about the illegal FISA application to spy on the Trump campaign is just one of still more to come, addressing different areas of concern, and I hear the next one will be mostly about the State Department.
I guess the Democrats also have a memo they want released to rebuttal the accusations.
Yes, that will be interesting. But you know what? You can stay caught up on all that on TV news. Rather, tonight, we want to focus on what is happening with Israel, since very little is being reported.
Yeah, you know, since the airwaves are being consumed with memos and Trump tweets.
Oh, yes, and we pray that his tweets will be a little more godly. Anyhow, news about Israel is more important to the body of Christ.
Yeah, no doubt.
For a while now, we have been sharing with you that Prime Minister Netanyahu of Israel has been openly declaring that they will not allow Iranian presence on its northern border. And then last week, he had an explicit meeting in Moscow to inform President Putin, who is Iran's ally, to relay that message not just to Iran, but also to Syria's Assad, who also has welcomed Iran to assist in Syria's civil war. Now, we do know that Iran has been covertly involved for quite some time. But then around 2013 is when they were openly asked to assist from all involved, including the United States, to help fight ISIS. Now, we know that Obama never aggressively did as much as he could. It was sort of like our administration was at times even fueling the war. Finally, President Trump, with his new generals, came along and beefed up our presence, and ISIS is now like 95% gone, or should we say moved?
Mm-hmm. Right. Some are engaging in America through sleeper cells.
Yes, but the bulk went down south to Egypt, Sinai, where Hamas from Gaza are joining ISIS in that area.
You know, that's why Egypt needs to stay friendly with Israel.
Well, they do need Israel's help, no doubt, and Israel is complying, so there's just a lot going on.
Anyhow, most knew when ISIS was pushed out of Syria, Iran would plan on staying.
Yes, we know they want to form a caliphate and to annihilate Israel, thereby to control the media, yes, that too, to control the Middle East with a huge swath of land from Iran through northern Iraq, through Syria, and into Lebanon, where Hezbollah is headquartered and who is the central force already paving the way to help meet Iran's goals.
With that said, do you have some good news?
You know I do. After Netanyahu's Russian visit last week, both Syria and Lebanon, just yesterday, through a couriered written note, assured Israel that Iran was not welcome there and would help to make sure of that. So Putin is conducting a balancing act between Iran, who's its ally, and pacifying Israel, who he does not want to war with.
Every day is a new day.
Meanwhile, it has become pretty evident that Palestinian leader Mahmoud Abbas is being pushed out. The peace treaty is moving forward without him.
Yeah, I understand Jerusalem's not even on the table at this point.
That's what President Trump has recently said. But we can say they do know what will happen, but they're just not ready to openly declare it. And that is. And by the way, I have to say that we're talking about East Jerusalem here. And that's where the Temple Mount and the three major religious establishments will be declared an international city for all faiths. Now, we pray they will announce that soon, because that is a major sign that the bride should be watching for.
Yeah, that's for sure. But, of course, all in God's timing.
Oh, is that an amen?
Mm-hmm. Okay, we welcome your comments, and we welcome your comments, and you can send your end time questions by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office, and be sure to leave a detailed message too. 440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail, Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. And to help us stay on the air, your love offerings are needed and very much appreciated. And we will include you in our mailings when we send out our updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net. where all the past radio and instructional newsletters are archived for your added learning.
Okay, a little review. Matthew's name in Hebrew means gift of the Lord, and the Lord has given us a treasure trove of information via Matthew, especially in chapter 24. We are also looking at it through Jewish eyes, since Jesus was Jewish and was prophesying to the Jews.
Particularly the end of days Jews.
Yes. And let me reiterate that what I said last week, and that today some Jews are already familiar with the New Testament. And it's important to point out that at the midpoint of the tribulation, when they see the abomination in the temple and the Antichrist demanding worship, the Jews by this time will have realized that Jesus is their Messiah from the war of Ezekiel 38. So, naturally, then they will devour the New Testament, beginning in Matthew, because it comes first and outlines everything about who Christ was and is.
And will return again as their king.
Amen. So, we saw in the beginning of chapter 24 their soon destruction of the temple. And that happened less than 40 years after Jesus' death. And then by verse 3 in Matthew 24 and onward, Yeshua moved quickly into a future time, telling the various signs to watch for.
Yeah, the first and number one sign is deception.
Right, and as we have said many times, deception is huge today, especially in the church.
Yeah.
False teachers who like to tickle your ears, many giving false assumptions of what is really going on. Many today are coming from a false teaching based on dominionism, but it goes by many different names. That's where they teach that we have to make it all good before Jesus will return.
And, you know, many say President Trump's the one to do that.
They do. But obviously, they are not reading Bible prophecy. Now, in spite of the volatile stock market, I am pleased with the progress of our economy. But President Trump will not make it all right. That's what the judgment is for, and it will be Jesus that will kick that off when he opens the first seal of Revelation 6. You know, I even recently heard a so-called prophet infer that we should not even listen to the doom and gloom preachers. Well, let me say, he just ridiculed the prophets of the Bible. And I think of Jeremiah, especially in chapters 14 and chapter 23, who warned the people of their coming judgment from Babylon. But they chose to have their ears tickled by listening to the happy false prophets who prophesied thus saith the Lord. Oh, everything is fine and great. Well, it wasn't then, and it isn't now.
Yep, and you know, there's no going back.
Well, right. Trump will not reverse all abortions or homosexuality or thievery or pedophilia. Judgment is right around the corner, saints, and we as the body of Christ need to stay focused on the Father's business and let the people know the truth.
Yeah, seek salvation or face wrath.
Yeah, and it is harder when we believe or think everything is fine and America will be great again. It's kind of a smokescreen.
Mm-hmm. By the way, he repeats it again, I think, in verse 11, where false prophets will deceive many.
He does. Now, in Matthew 24, verses 5 through 11, he gives other signs to recognize as happening simultaneously. And we covered this before, but let me just say that we see in verse 12 that he adds that lawlessness will abound and the love for each other will grow cold. Then verse 13 says, but he who endures to the end shall be saved to enter the millennial kingdom. And there will be tribulation saints. Now, the martyred spirits wait under the altar in heaven until the tribulation is over and then are given new immortal bodies. And they are a separate group, different from the bride. They'll be more in a servant capacity, as we covered last week from Revelation 7, verses 14 and 15. Okay, now, Matthew 24, 14 says the gospel of the kingdom of, of the coming kingdom on earth will be preached in all the world by the sealed and protected 144,000 Israelites. And then the end of the seven-year tribulation will be finished. So let me be clear. Contrary to what some are saying, you know, that today's gospel has to be preached in all the world before the rapture, that is not the case. This scripture is of the future kingdom on earth. And that is what will be preached and fulfilled right after the tribulation, called the Messianic Kingdom. And as I said also last week, oh, and by the way, all these programs are archived on our webpage, shofarministries.net, if you missed anything. But the 144,000 will be witnessing in Israel and the close surrounding areas during the first half of the tribulation until the Jews flee Jerusalem, as we read here in verse 16 of Matthew 24. Then the 144,000 will leave the area as well to preach the gospel of the coming kingdom in other nations, sort of like the apostles did. They went to other places. So we left off last week in Matthew 24, verse 16, and this is at the midway point, or 3.5 years into the tribulation. And now things are getting more heated. Satan is bound to the earth. We know that from Revelation 12:8. And now totally inhabits this man of perdition, the Antichrist, and will demand worship, or else you'll die torturously. The newly righteous recognize it is time to get out of Jerusalem. And so they flee down south to the mountains for safety. And again, this is confirmed in Revelation 12. And actually, verse 13 of Revelation 12 tells us that Satan no longer has access to the heavens. And again, this is at the middle of the tribulation, when he totally possesses the Antichrist and begins now to severely persecute Israel. And this is symbolized by the woman who gave birth to Jesus. So let's continue in Revelation 12:14, because it does tell us a lot. Revelation 12:14 says, the woman, which is Israel, was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time, or 3.5 years. And this will be from the presence of the serpent, that dragon. Verse 15 says, so the serpent spewed water out of his mouth, like a flood, after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. Now that's pretty powerful. Verse 16 says in Revelation 12, but the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. verse 17, and the dragon was enraged with the woman, so he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. That really tells us a lot. But first, I hope you picked up on the typology of the flood, as in the Red Sea crossing, fleeing from their enemy, and God helped them escape. Well, we see he does it again. And this is also, of course, confirmation that by now the Israelites are saved. The ones in Jerusalem will flee to the wilderness mountains, and the other northern Israelites will have to deal with the dragon because he's returning back to them. So, I left you last week by asking the question, which mountainous area are they fleeing to? For the longest time, I thought and was told by other eschatological teachers that it had to be a place named Petra because it was a huge area surrounded by mountains with caves and even running water and stored grain for food. Now, that made sense, and so I visited the area one year after leaving Israel and was filled with awe of its beauty. The many different colors shining from the inside of the mountains was breathtaking, and you could only get through the small opening by walking or on a donkey. A car would be too wide in some areas. But after we walked about a mile, all of a sudden it opened into a huge city with caved buildings hewn into the rock. Anyhow, it was quite amazing, and at the time I felt it just had to be the place where God would hide the Jews, making it impossible for the enemy to get in. But then, years later, after a better understanding of typology and the realization about history repeating itself, I had a revelation. I felt that God would lead the tribulation Jews right back to where they were many centuries before, to the same area in the Sinai, and totally taking care of them as he did long ago. They didn't have to go to a place with water and food. God wanted to do it all, and he wants to do it again. But this time, they would stay true, and like Joshua before, now Yeshua would himself take them into the millennial kingdom. And by the way, Joshua and Yeshua are the same root name, and they both mean salvation. And like Joshua, Jesus too will get rid of the giants, or the descendants of Satan's seed, the wicked ones, and throw them into the lake of fire, Revelation 19. By the way, you might want to check out the scripture, Psalm 58:3, where it says that there are some that are wicked right from the womb. I'll let you research that. In Matthew 24:17, it says, excuse me, to run quickly and take nothing with you, for we know God will provide. Even those on the housetops are not to go back into the house. You know, when in Israel, that was also interesting to see. These flat roofs on most houses. Many used them as playgrounds because they all had children. And where they hung out their clothes to dry. You know, it doesn't rain too much there, but there was still a slight slant on the roofs for the rain to drain off into cisterns. For water is a precious commodity, and they would use that rainwater. And I remember on my first tour to Israel, walking in the Jewish quarter, and it looked a little cloudy that day, and I remember mentioning it to my husband that I hoped it didn't rain. You know, I wanted to be able to walk and not have to carry umbrellas and all that stuff. Typical thing we would say if we were here in America. But then a Jewish lady heard me and said to me, please don't curse us by hoping for no rain. We pray daily for rain. Well, I apologized and learned a big lesson that day. So continuing on in Matthew 24:18-19, it says, and let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes, but woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babes in those days. Remember, we learned from Revelation 12 that it tells us the dragon is on his way back. Or excuse me, it's on his way after them. And then he chases them. He spews out water to have this huge flood. But God opens the earth so that the flood goes into the earth and the Jews escape. And that makes him very mad. And then he goes back to the northern part of Israel to supposedly get the Jews up there. And we know by Revelation 12 that at this time they are saved. So that's a lot of good information to know, I think. All right, so in verse 20 of Matthew 24, it says, "And pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath." Well, first of all, God doesn't suggest we pray for something that is not a possibility. So I've done a little homework, and I believe it will not be in the winter, but rather early spring. And next week, I'm going to tell you why I believe that. We'll be getting into some deeper material. But also, I want to tell you that I believe it will not be on a Sabbath either. He's not going to have them fleeing on a Sabbath. Because, first of all, remember, Jews don't travel over 2,000 cubits, which is about a half a mile on any given Sabbath. And again, I will explain next week why I think it will actually be on a Sunday. And I'll give you a little hint. Maybe even Palm Sunday. And again, I'll explain that next week. So I hope you tune in. Don't miss it. But let's close tonight with verse 21 of Matthew 24. It says, "For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time. No, nor ever shall be." Those are pretty strong words. But with all that said, let me reiterate in the strongest sense, you can escape it all, but it must be your choice. Let me ask you this question. Is Yeshua Lord over your life? Really over your life? Luke 21 says you can escape with just a simple prayer. Just admit you are a sinner, repent, and invite him into your heart, into your spirit. Then let him have dominance over you instead of the God of this world. Because if Jesus isn't ruling your life, then Satan is. There's no in between. And by the way, those who are out there and you're kind of lukewarm and you've got one foot in the world and, you know, it's like your faith is part-time, you better get your act together and do it now. Tithe your time in God's word. If you do this, you will get discernment. And by the way, we really need it. But only the word can give you that discernment. So let me leave you with the Aaronic blessing. And this comes from Numbers 6, 22 through 27, and I'll attempt it in Hebrew first. Yivarekecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'yunecha, Yasei Adonai panav elecha v'yisem laha shalom. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, that special shalom. Till next time, sha'alu shalom, Yerushalayim. And that means pray for Jerusalem, but also pray for our president. And by the way, those, if you really love Jerusalem, you're a child of the Lord, then you will pray and you will prosper in all areas. And we get that from Psalm 122, verse 6. Be sure to tune in next week. Tell your friends. Make sure you have your Bible out. And thank you for joining us in this Bible study. Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.